Good morning. Usually I'm talking for a few minutes before people start crying, but apparently I'm on a roll this morning. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Lessons from a Relentless God. I'm sort of excited about this series. Before we get too far into it, I was going to play a video, but we've been having some technical difficulties, but I do want to play the audio. I just want you to envision pictures of a married couple through the years. They got a couple called Robertson and Muriel McQuilkin. They were married in 1948. This video or the audio you're about to hear is from 1990. Robertson was a president of a college, and he was stepping down and he was retiring to take care of Muriel, who was suffering from Alzheimer's. So again, by this point, they had been married for about 40 years, and I just want you to listen his speech here.
I haven't in my life experienced easy decision-making on major decisions, but one of the simplest and clearest decisions I've had to make is this one, because circumstances dictated it. Muriel, now, in the last couple of months, seems to be almost happy when with me, and almost never happy when not with me. In fact, she seems to feel trapped, becomes very fearful, sometimes almost terror, and when she can't get to me, there can be anger. She's in distress. But when I'm with her, she's happy and contented. And so I must be with her at all times. And you see, it's not only that I promised in sickness and in health, till death do us part, and I'm a man of my word. But as I have said, I don't know with this group, but I've said publicly, it's the only fair thing. She sacrificed for me for 40 years to make my life possible. So, if I cared for her for 40 years, I'd still be in debt. However, there's much more. It's not that I have to, it's that I get to. I love her very dearly. And you can tell it's not easy to talk about. She's a delight. It's a great honor to care for such a wonderful person.
If we had time, I would show you the whole video. It's pretty remarkable. But when you listen to him talking, what do you hear? I hear two things. I hear his love obviously oozes out, right? And I think to myself, I want to be loved like that. And I want to be somebody who loves like that. Deep down, we all yearn to be loved and to love as God intended. So on the heels of Valentine's Day, which is a day when we try to express that love, right? We are beginning a three-part series, starting today with lessons from a relentless God. Next week, we will look at lessons from a wounded God, and the following week, we will look at lessons from a patient God. The point is, we want to use Valentine's Day, maybe this week, this concept of love, we want to use it not as a finish line, but as a launching pad in our lives so that we can live out that kind of love that the McQuilkins so clearly lived out. To live out this radical love that God wants us to live and to give to those around us. And, you know, although the McQuilkins were a married couple and Valentine's Day tends to be geared towards romantic relationships. I think the principles of love are true for everyone in our lives. When we are loved in love as God calls us and created us to, it changes our lives. We don't have a whole lot of time, but just from the time of creation until the destruction of our world, God has and will relentlessly love us. Relentless. It does not soften. It does not weaken. It maintains strength and resolve of pursuit. It does not become more mild or slackened. It maintains strength and pursuit of intensity. It doesn't get weaker over time. It is relentless. If you read Scripture from creation, when God created Adam and Eve and He so relentlessly pursued them when they sinned and they hid. And God, what did He do? He started walking in the garden and calling out to them. He was pursuing them out of love. All the way through to the end, you see, right? Like in the New Testament, when God sends His Son to the earth to walk once again, pursuing His creation out of love. Again, all the way to the end, God is relentless. He doesn't weaken. He doesn't grow softer. He doesn't give up. He is relentless in pursuing us in love. This is how we were called to love those around us, pursuing them over and over and over and over. All right, oh my. Let's pray and we'll get into some of the scripture this morning. Lord, we thank You that You are a loving God. And when we say You're a loving God, it is not the world's perspective of love, Lord. It is so much deeper and richer and purer and overwhelming. God, we thank You for Your love in our lives. Thank You that You pursue us relentlessly. Pray, Lord, that who You are and how You live and how You've created us to be will sink into our hearts today, and we will understand more deeply how to live and live life to the full as we mirror You. Pray You'd come and You'd speak to us, Lord, in powerful ways. Just fill this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I remember Sreya, who's our oldest, when she was born. I remember when my wife was pregnant with her, and, you know, we'd already fallen in love with her, and we used to talk to her and sing to her before she was born. But I remember people telling me, you know, Peter, when you have a child, you'll love them more than you can imagine. And you'd feel a new responsibility in life, right? And I knew all of that. I'd heard that. I understood it intellectually. And when the doctor handed me Sureya for the first time, and I was holding this perfect little baby, the weight of that deepened on me. And I understood it at a deeper level. I understood and I loved in inexpressible ways. I think similar to that, like God's example in love, specifically the concepts we're going to touch on today, they're not new or fancy, right? We've heard them our whole lives. When you have a kid, you're going to love that kid more than you know. We've heard that our whole lives, right? And yet somehow, when the baby is placed in your arms, the truth of it sinks in a deeper way than we could have expressed before. The same thing is true with what we're going to talk about today. They're not new or fancy concepts, but I think they sink deeper in our lives the more real they become. And the weight of them have challenged me the last several years in new ways. Okay, so what does it look like to love relentlessly like God? The scripture reading this morning that Luke read says, "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up His life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's Word. Have you ever stopped to really think about how did Christ love the church? And really just start listing some of the things that he did. It's really, the list would be too extensive to get into today. But here's the first way. Relentlessly humble in love. He was relentlessly humble in love. How did Christ love the church? He was unwavering in his humility. Look at Philippians 2, 5 through 7. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. You see that? He was God. He had every right to be God, to be in control, to come to earth with a shusher. Have you guys ever seen the movie Home? Great little animated show that my kids love. And one of the king has what he calls the shusher. And it meant that he was in charge. And the shusher was just a big stick. And if he wanted you to be quiet, he'd whack you on the head and say, shush! I have the shusher! Jesus could have come down with the shusher! Shush! He didn't. He had the position as God. He had the character of God. He had earned the right through creation. He had every right to come down to earth and demand that we listen to every word he said and to follow him. And yet to continue his pursuit through love, he came humbly. He lowered himself, not just to the same level as those he was loving, but below them. You understand, right? The first thing God did to love us relentlessly was he took himself from a high position and he said, I will make myself below them and I will love them humbly. That's a great story about my sinful wretchedness we don't have time for. We're going to move on. All right, husbands, right? So the verse, the scripture reading that Luke read this morning, specifically referencing husbands. Husbands, do you know what this means? When it says that husbands are to be the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, that means that we are to be relentlessly humble in love. Although we could demand our way, Christ's example is that we serve. All right, here is a good story I'll tell you. So many years ago, my wife and I worked through our budget every year, right? And every year, budget changes. You work through it and you plop it down. I work through it. I plop it down in front of my wife. She goes through it. We agree to it. And then we go on for the year. Many years ago, we were wrestling through our budget and the way that I did our household or our grocery budget, right, is it ran on a 2-week cycle. I get paid every 2 weeks. That seemed to make sense to me. Right, every 2 weeks you get this much, every 2 weeks you get this much, that works. And my wife looked at it and she said, well, this doesn't make sense. Everything else is run by the month. Why isn't our household run by the month? Well, because I get paid every 2 weeks, it makes more sense to me. She goes, yes, it doesn't make sense to me. Everything else goes by the month, this should go by the month too. And I said, well, yeah, but then, you know, the pay cycles sort of swing. I'm like, you could hit a couple of weeks in there, they get a little bit tight, right? I could have, right? My right as the head of the household, the person who sets the budget, the person who, I could have very easily said to my wife, I could have looked at her and said, woman, submit. I could have said, listen, when we disagree and I can't convince you and you can't convince me, my way wins. I didn't make the rules. God made the rules. Listen to what I say. I could have said that. I would have needed a couch someplace, but I could have said that. But Jesus is relentless in love. And you know what he did? He humbled himself. And he thought of others as more important than himself. So I humbled myself. And I said, what you're asking is not illegal or immoral. To humbly and relentlessly pursue you in love, I will destroy our fight. No, I will do our budget the way that makes you comfortable. Man, when God says we're the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, what he's saying is we have a long road of humbling ourselves and serving ahead of us. Did Christ demand his way when he walked on the earth, or did he lovingly serve those who were below him as God, as if they were more important than himself, even giving up his life? Philippians 2:8 says he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So here's the challenge. What do you feel gives you authority or rights over someone else? Is it a position or a title, an education, or even a biblical principle? What can you do to humble yourself in love? What can you do to humble yourself in love? Here's a follow-up. To those who know you best and love you most, think you love humbly. All right. You guys get the idea, relentlessly humble in love. What does it look like to love relentlessly like God? Relentless to the point of giving up his life. Again, Ephesians 5 says he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean. Philippians 2:8, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Few of us will actually be called to die. Although some may. Hopefully some of you, not me. I'm joking. But we are called to pick up our cross and follow him. Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. We're all called to give up our own way. We're called to die to ourselves. Some of you guys may know that over the last several years, my wife has had some health frustrations, some health difficulties. One of the major triggers for her health problems is a lack of sleep. Anytime she doesn't get good sleep, it's like everything in her body starts to fight against her. If she doesn't sleep well, she's pretty miserable the next day. Now, we have 5 kids. And they do a wonderful job, every single one of them, right? They sleep well. But listen, if they all get up just once a month, that's more than once a week. There's somebody getting up, right? And we have had one kid who's had a rougher time the last several months. So it's been more frequently. Now, this time of year, my job has been really busy. It's been really busy, and it's been sort of a stressful, frustrating time for me. And without realizing it, Tracy has made sure that I've been sleeping through the night without any interruptions. If the kids get up, she makes sure that she gets them before they disturb me. Now, maybe that doesn't sound like a big deal to you, but I wasn't sleeping well, right? I wasn't sleeping well. I wasn't getting a lot of sleep. And my wife, out of love, died to herself and let me get rest. I know it maybe doesn't sound like a lot. This was a huge sacrifice for my wife. That meant that for months she felt awful just so that I could get rest. She would suffer as an act of love. It's the example that Christ gives us when he talks about die to yourself, when we must pick up our cross daily and follow him. We may not actually be crucified and our bodies be killed and go to heaven, but to relentlessly love as God loved, what we need to do is to offer our lives as a living sacrifice to show love day after day after day. Tracy wasn't selfish. She wasn't trying to impress anyone. She humbly thought of someone else as more important than herself, and she loved them. So here's the challenge for this one. Write down three ways you can think of others as more important than yourself. And die to your flesh and do them. Write down three ways that you can think of others as more important than yourself. And then die to yourself and do them. All right, really quickly, we're going to move on to what does it look like to love relentlessly like God? Relentless in sharing God's word to communicate love. Relentless in sharing God's word to communicate love. Ephesians 5:26 is washed by the cleansing of God's word. This is the end of that verse that Luke read this morning. Do you know that when inspectors look at a house and they want to know from the outside what the foundation is like, if it's in good shape or not, you know what they look at? Anybody other than Mark know? They look at the roof. Because the roof is indicative of what the foundation is like. If the roof is square and solid, chances are the foundation is square and solid. If the roof looks like a surfer's dream, kind of wavy, the foundation is in rough shape. Now, if you bought a house and you didn't understand that and the roof was in poor shape and wavy because the foundation was bad, you may reinforce the roof, right? Restructure and reinforce it and make it just a strong roof. Over time, though, the foundation is still bad and shifting, and your reinforcements will start to fall apart. Because what you've done is you have fixed the roof and not the cause. You could have the most reinforced, sturdy roof in the world, making it straight, but if you have a flawed foundation, all you've done is cover up the indicator. You haven't actually fixed the problem. Where are we going with this? Let me share a truth that I share in pre-marriage counseling all the time. Ready? We are, people are made up sort of three parts, broadly, right? Spiritual, emotional, and physical. Okay? Now, that's the order God created. Spiritual, emotional, and physical. Here's the problem. Our world and our culture have flipped those upside down and say that we address physical, emotional, and then spiritual. It's all upside down. The world says to connect physically first, then emotionally, then maybe spiritually. Maybe. Right? We have an entire culture that are building their roof first. Let me build a roof that is strong and sturdy. And then maybe we'll slap together some walls and maybe think about a foundation later. Maybe. And then they wonder why their houses are falling in on them. I wonder our world doesn't feel love and doesn't understand the depth of God's love. The foundation of how we love people is to love them spiritually first, emotionally second, and physically third. You know what the single best thing I have ever done in my marriage? This is, it's not even close. It's not even close. The single best thing I've ever done in my marriage is invest spiritually with my wife. The first present I ever bought my wife was a one-year Bible. I said, here's a one-year Bible. I bought one for you. I bought one for me. We will read them together so we can talk about what we're doing. I used to email my wife. I would read my Bible at work, and then I would just shoot my wife a quick email. Hey, this is what stuck out to me. By far, the best thing I've ever done. I have stopped doing it, and it's not good. So all of you now are responsible to keep me accountable that I'm going to start that again. You need to ask me, because I'll stop again. You need to ask me so that I continue to do that. It is the single best thing I have ever done in my marriage. There is something about God's word that oozes love. It communicates love in ways that we can't really put our finger on or articulate. We just feel it. There was this guy I knew. He went to a church down in the cities, and I was talking to him at one point. I didn't really know him. You know, I met him like 3 times. And we were talking, and he was sharing one of his hobbies, and he seemed sort of discouraged. Maybe he wasn't, but he seemed like it. So the next week, I shot him a quick email with a verse trying to encourage him. Again, I didn't really knew the guy. He barely knew me. For the next 3 years, he would email me before Faith Walkers, right? Like, hey, am I going to see you at Faith Walkers? Hey, at Faith Walkers, we should connect and talk. Hey, Faith Walkers, let's play some games together. I barely knew him, and he barely knew me, but he felt loved. He felt love because the washing of God's word conveys love. All right. All right, so here's the challenge. I want you to write down 3 people. Nobody's writing anything down. Write down 3 people. Over the next 3 weeks, right? It's a 3-week series. Write down 3 people, and over the next 3 weeks, 1 person per week, I want you to love them with God's word. I want you to love them with God's word. Share how God is speaking to you. Share a verse that sticks out to you. Pray over them. Be relentless over the next 3 weeks. Don't soften, but strengthen and maintain your intensity. Love them with God's word and see what happens. When we love and are loved as God intended, it changes our lives. Where are we here? All right. Relentlessly humble in love. Relentless to the point of giving up his life in love. And relentless in sharing God's word to communicate love. Let me pray and the worship team can come up. Lord, we thank you for this morning and all you've blessed us with. Thank you that we can come and worship you together as a family. Thank you, Lord, that your love is so deep and powerful and so relentless. Pray, Lord, that again we would use this time not as a finish line for love, but as a springboard, as a launching pad, that we would deepen our love for you and deepen our love for those around us, that we would live out love as you called us to and you created us to experience. Just pray your hand would be on each one of us as we go, blessing us and drawing us ever closer to you. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.